When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe. Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I am one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, followed by my good friend and co-host, Nina.
Hi.
How are you doing, Nina?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, you know, peachy, you know, tornado warnings. My shelf above my computer almost fell on me early today to where I had to drive new holes into the wall. You know, great stuff. Great stuff to start before I start recording podcasts.
Yeah, I feel that. The wind here has been awful. It's been rattling the house. So I feel on the weather aspect, I get it. Yeah.
Weather sucks. I'm ready for it to stop. Stop doing this tornado crap and all these storms. I'm ready that to be done.
Yeah. But anyway, so ready to be outside always.
Right. But anyway, This week we're still going over all these different locations in Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade, and we went over Diagon Alley, Gringotts. What other prominent location do we have in Diagon Alley?
We have the Leaky Cauldron,
which is, you know, our best favorite tavern in the wizard world, next to, you know,
Three Broomsticks.
Thank you. I just blanked on that for some reason. I almost said the Hogsmeade Inn. I was like, that's not right.
Nope. That's I wouldn't say that's a good one.
That's the Hogshead Inn.
Yep. But
Three Broomsticks, yeah. So we are going over the Leaky Cauldron. So, yeah, let's get right into this. So, the Leaky Cauldron was a popular wizarding pub and inn located in London. It was the entrance to Diagon Alley and, indirectly, Nocturne Alley. The rear of the pub opened up onto a chilly courtyard that contains the entrance to both alleyways. The pub was built by Daisley Doddridge?
Yes.
The first landlady in the early 1500s to serve as the gateway between the non-wizarding world and Diagon Alley. It had a bar, several private parlor rooms, and a large dining room. To Muggles, the pub appears to be a broken-down old shop front on Charing Cross Road. This, however, was a case prior to improvisation of the Statute of Secrecy, and prior to this, Muggle visitors were neither turned away nor made to feel unwelcome.
Interesting.
So, the Leaky Cauldron had Muggle patrons at some point in the early history.
That's really cool. I'm a little sad that they decided to make it
Yes and no.
Anti-Muggle to the sense of...
Yeah, I get that point, but there's also the point there they actively use magic to do things in the pub. Like we see in Prisoner of Azkaban, like in the film, we see literally someone wave their hand and like rags and chairs were folded and all that stuff.
Right, and the guy spinning his spoon, steering his teeth. Reading, it was a science book that he was reading in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea that they, witches and wizard also studied what muggles science is to get an idea of, I think it was like the concept of time. I think it was a Stephen Hawking's book, but don't quote me on that. I could be wrong.
Interesting. I did not know mm-hmm. that. I didn't really take a look at the book. Mm-hmm. So now we have the history, and starting with the early history, so the 1500s to 1692. So the Leaky Cauldron was built in the 1500s by Daisley Doddridge. The pub was there long before Charing Cross Road was even planned. Its true address is number 1 Diagon Alley and is believed to be built along with the rest of the Wizarding Street. Created some 2 centuries before the Wizarding World community made the joint decision to go into hiding, the Leaky Cauldron used to be a visible to Muggles' eyes.
So I wonder if they just didn't use magic back before this.
They might have not. Probably back when Muggles would be patrons, I would imagine they didn't use magic and they just interacted with each other like normal. They will probably use magic in the kitchens to, like, you know,
yeah. get stuff. Oh my gosh, if we could use magic in kitchens, just even working in a restaurant, because I
right?
used to.
Or, you know, just at home to where I don't have to put in the effort of cooking.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
I could just imagine the efficiency of cooking with it in a restaurant style.
Right. So while the pub was from the first a place where witches and wizards to congregate, whether Londoners or out-of-towners upped the day to the shop for the latest magical ingredient or devices. Devisons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Muggles were not turned away or made feel unwelcome, even though some of the conversations, not to mention pets, caused many of the unwary Muggles to leave without finishing his or her mead.
I bet you back then, too, if you think about, like, the church influence, it probably just felt uneasy
about the whole
thing. And you're like, this place isn't godly enough. That's right. Probably really what helped keep them out of the tavern itself. Yeah.
That's true, too. Mm-hmm. So with the imposition of the International Salute of Secret Wizarding Secrecy in 1692, Minister Ulrich Gump permitted the pub to continue its existence as a safe haven for refuge for members of the magical community, though insistent. God, I keep fumbling over this. This is what happens when you do 3 podcasts in one day.
Yes.
The on numerous concealment spells and good behavior from all who use the pub, Gump was sympathetic to the need of wizards to let off steam during the difficult time, and further agreed to give the landlord permission to let people into Diagon Alley from his backyard. Because the shops behind Leaky Cauldron were now also in need of protection, out of gratitude, the landlord created a brand new beer, Gump Old
Gregarious,
which tasted so disgusting that even a 100-gallon incentive, nobody would finish a pint. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, the name itself doesn't really inspire tasting it.
Yeah, no, not at all. Oh, no. And a 100-gallon incentive, no one would finish it, even if you get a
just a pint of it. Jeez.
And 100 gallons is a lot.
I wonder if it was made to just be the worst thing that person could taste.
Oh, I'd imagine.
That would be a really cool effect. Mm-hmm.
So in 1887, the pub faced with the possibility of being demolished when the Muggles set in motion the construction of Charing Cross Road. The minister of the time, Ferris Spavin, had become certain that this would be the end of the pub, and given a melancholy 7-hour speech in the Wizengamot about why the establishment could not be saved, only to receive a note from his secretary the moment he sat down, informing him that the magical community had rallied and, through the massive use of memory charms, had altered the entire route of the new road to accommodate the Leaky Cauldron, leaving the artifacts confused as why there was a blank space on the design and why said space did not appear to the naked eye.
That you get for just talking and not actually solving the problem.
Right?
This is what happened.
Oh, yeah. Screw that. We're going to do it ourselves.
We're just going to let him talk around, but we're going to actually take action and let him have his silly 7-hour speech about why we shouldn't have this visible.
So now we move on to recent history. So the Leaky Cauldron had changed title over the years, or changed a little over the years, is small, dingy, and welcoming, with few bedrooms above the public bar. For travelers who live a long way from London, it was ideal spot to catch up with the wizarding gossip if one happened to live a long way from the nearest magical neighborhood. Which, you know, makes sense.
Like any good tavern.
Any go to any tavern, a lot of gossip. Mm-hmm. Even go to Ren Faire. The taverns are great for gossip.
Oh, heck yeah, they are.
So in the summer of 1899, Albus Dumbledore and Iphilis Dodge stayed at the Leaky Cauldron in preparation to depart for Greece when Albus received a word of his mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
And then during 1990-91 school year, Zinla Zeep held a meet and greet for her beauty and lifestyle business, Zeep, at the Leaky Cauldron, and promoted her hair care potion, Zeep's Luxurious Lock Solution. Rita Skeeter, Bilton Bilmes, Jacob Sibling, and Garrick Ollivander attended. Around the same time, a wizard went to the Leaky Cauldron to chat with Tom when the wizard saw the Muggle artifact smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody remembers, because I think we talked about this Luxurious Lock Solution, not a good potion whatsoever.
Had terrible symptoms and side effects.
Yeah, such as memory loss.
Yeah. Can't remember how you got your luscious locks.
Right. And then later during the school year, Jacob and their sibling had an awkward dinner with the Leaky Cauldron with their long-lost father, Pettigrew. They later met with their father in the end, discussed their findings about Ryukoski, which is he's a Japanese wizard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on July 31st, 1991, Harry Potter and Rubeus Hagrid passed through the pub on their way to Diagon Alley. Tom, the innkeeper, greeted Hagrid like they were like an old friend. This made it seem that Hagrid was something of a regular. Some other witches and wizards who were there at the time were Doris Crockford, Diegas Diggle, and Cornelius Quill. They looked great interest in Harry, quiring to shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously we get this scene in, you know, Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone, the film, in the book. I will say, I don't like the change they did for Tom from the first film to the third film. I don't like how they changed the actor for Tom.
Oh, I never noticed.
Yeah, so in the first film, he's just like a regular guy behind the bar. Like, he mm-hmm. reads Hagrid. When you go to Prison of Azkaban, he's the hunchback guy. That's Tom.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I don't like that. I don't like how they did that.
That's interesting. I wonder why they made that decision to change him that drastically.
I don't know, and I don't like it. So mm-hmm. in the summer of 1992, Harry Potter and the Weasley family traveled to Diagon Alley by flu powder. Harry mispronounced Diagon Alley and therefore traveled to Nocturne Alley. Instead, after doing their shopping, Harry and the Weasleys departed through the Leaky Cauldron's fireplace to the Burrow. He said, it's Diagon Alley, and he said, what'd he say?
Diagonally? Diagon Alley.
It's Diagon Alley. Diagon Alley. Mm-hmm. Diagon Alley. He says, Diagon Alley.
Yes.
Diagon Alley. And I was like,
yes. And he shot out sideways or on his back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In the summer of 1993, as well as stopping there for drinks, Harry Potter stayed at the inn for a time, having accidentally blown up his Aunt Marge. He also met Cornelius Fudge in a private room for the first time. Yeah, accidentally blew up his Aunt Marge, which I'm pretty sure she didn't die.
She didn't die. I remember us having a conversation about that.
I'm trying to see.
Because the way that they were going to have to deflate her, I guess is the proper word to use there, was going to be, it was irreversible, or there was going to be like bad damage done to her.
Yeah, accidental. So later she was successfully punctured and her memory was modified by the accidental magic reversal squad from the Ministry of Magic, so she would have no recollection of the event.
Oh. So, okay.
And then after that, the Dursleys never invited Marge to stay where while Harry was in the residence. And he never saw her again, which is probably a good thing.
Good.
Because she was not nice.
No, she was not.
So while at the while the Leaky Cauldron was a favorite hangout for magical community, its patrons took a turn for the worse in the summer of 1996 during the beginning of the Second Wizarding War. With Lord Voldemort and the Death Eaters moving in the open, many witches and wizards avoid public places as such as possible, including the Leaky Cauldron. When Harry Potter, Rubius Hagrid, and the Weasley family passed through the Leaky Cauldron that summer on his way to Diagon Alley, they noticed that the bar was empty with the exception of Tom.
Hurts business.
Yeah, and if you go to Tom's, like, Harry Potter wiki page, it's the actor from the third film.
Oh, I see.
Which I don't like. I don't like the change. I just did not like it.
Not
and then
for you.
On May 1st, 1998, on the height of the war, Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, and Hermione Granger, with the assistance of Griphook the Goblin, stage a break-in at Gringotts Wizarding Bank. While passing through the Leaky Cauldron on the way to the bank, they noted that it was nearly empty. Tom borrowed and feared at the sight of Hermione, who was disguised as Bellatrix Lestrange at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense because Bellatrix was an evil B-I-T-C-H. And Molly Weasley said so.
She absolutely did. She was spot on in
her
description.
It was great. And the actress, like if you go and watch the interviews from Deathly Hallows Part 2, the actress mm-hmm. who played Molly Weasley is like, out of all the films, this is my favorite. Like they were going through their favorite line from the films. And her mm-hmm. favorite is like, not my daughter, you bitch. Like, that's her, like, it's like, I mean, you can't top that. It's the only time that someone cusses in the entire film, besides saying Ron saying bloody all the time, because that's like not a so good thing to say.
Right. Yeah. But no, it's definitely a very powerful statement. Very powerful line.
Oh, yes. And then at some point after the end of the Second Wizarding War, Tom either retired or passed away. Hannah Abbott then became the new landlady.
Mm.
The Leaky Cauldron began to sell Steward Mandrake Quiche. During the Calamity in the late 2010s and early 2020s, the dish was described as disruptive and nausea-inducing, with the Calamity investigator working on the Statute of Secrecy Task Force believing that the food had resulted in a recent uptick of traces in the area. In response, the investigator convinced management to modify their menu. The same Calamity investigator later ran into Harry Potter at the Leaky Cauldron and engaged in a lively discussion about potions with him. Harry taught the investigator Severus Snape's method of preparing sulphiceous beans by pressing them flat side of the knife, releasing more of their juice, which they use to reduce the brew time of their dwaddled draught.
I think it's Sephorius.
Okay.
It's quite the word.
So, and obviously, this next paragraph I'm about to read as well, this is all from the Wizards Unite mobile game that no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like your character is the investigator, you as the player is the investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Minister of Magic Hermione Granger. Wait a minute, that's not right. Minister of Magic Hermione Granger?
She rose up to the top?
Later gave an impromptu talk about the Calamity at the Leaky Cauldron, which attended by the same Calamity investigator. From this talk, the investigator learned about the indefinitely of the Calamity, which they figured out a new way to improve their trace charm. The same Calamity investigator also met George Weasley and Leaky Cauldron, who discussed the affinity for pyrotechnics with them, resulting in their power increasing when casting a critical blow.
Okay, that's a bold move for that game to make, to have Hermione Granger.
Yeah, that's what I'm
magic. I mean, she's intelligent enough for it.
No, She's a Minister of Magic as of 2019.
I like that. Because it took...
And she was senior minister before that.
It took Britain a long time to have a female leader, where the Maguzas were pretty quick about it. So I'm glad to see... Glad to see her go up there.
Yeah, Hermione was elected in 2019, 2020. Hermione was elected as Minister of Magic in the summer of 2020.
She ain't gonna take no crap from nobody.
Mm-mm. Oh, and they have that in the play. So it nice. Is canon. It is canon. I was curious. Is that mobile game canon or not? Is it like what? And then I'm like reading it in the wiki page. Like, no, they have it in the Cursed Child play. She's minister. Oh. She's Minister of Magic. And I was like, oh, good.
Good. Yep.
Because we all know she's going to get things done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
better than any other. Before her was Kingsley Shacklebolt. So, I mean, that was when Kingsley took over. It's like, great change. Hermione takes over. Great change. Anybody before them basically didn't do their job.
No, they really sat on their hands on a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah, they mm-hmm. did. But anyway, with that being said, let's take a quick mid-break, and we will be right back. All right, welcome to the middle of the show. We talk about everything with podcasts. It has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. Here, we want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to the show, because we actually hit... I believe the last time I checked was well over almost 23,000 downloads.
Wow. So, that's some great news to get.
Right? It's so great to see everybody listening to the show. And if you want to support the show, there's a few options you can do so. You can go to patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast. I almost said Final Fantasy there. Wizarding World LoreCast. To where you can get ad-free episodes or even join us once a month on the show itself of a topic of your choosing. You can leave ratings and reviews on Spotify and Apple. You leave a 5-star review on Apple with some words. Read that out loud the next time on the show, as well as a nice Spotify comment, which we don't have any this week. Or you can go to our numerous Discords that we're on. We're on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord at the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord that you will find this show, as well as the other shows that I host, the Holocron History, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast. All a part of War Robots Radio. And the links for those discords are in the episode description.
Yes.
So, is there anything you want to add to the mid-break?
I just want to thank everybody for continuously listening and getting us up there. And everyone who stuck with us so far, thank you.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I know it was rough for a while and we had that interesting transition, but hey, we are getting back on track and improving the show as what we see fit. And if you think we should have other improvements, let us know.
Yeah. Send us in something. Let us know.
But with that being said, let's get more back to the Leaky Cauldron. All right, we are back, and now we are going over the structure of the Leaky Cauldron itself. So, the Leaky Cauldron is located at 1 Diagon Alley. The Leaky Cauldron is nested between a Muggle bookshop and a record store. Inside the pub, it was dark and shabby, with a bar and a numerous number of tables in the shadows of the corners. It's in stark contrast to the grubby downstairs of the pub. There were some unexpectedly pleasant rooms upstairs where passing wizards and witches could stay for the night. These rooms were reached by the way of a handsome wooden staircase and contained comfortable beds, highly polished oak furniture, a crackling fire, which was always burning in the grate to welcome visitors to their lodgings, and in Harry's case, a talking mirror. Yes, Harry had a talking mirror in his room. Because why not?
But what did the mirror say? I don't remember.
Here, let me see. The talking mirror was a bewitched bear and would advertise anybody who looked upon it how improved their appearance. Both the Weasley family and the Leaky Cauldron owned one. Oh. So it literally would tell Harry how to improve his looks.
I wonder how much it talked about his hair.
I'm and curious his unruly hair. I don't remember. And then a cellar was located beneath the ground floor that held a barrel was containing the beverage supply for the establishment, as well as a chest for holding reserve flu powder.
Because
you can't go wrong with flu powder. You need flu powder.
No, but I do think we should talk about flu powder in one episode. It does have quite a bit of information.
Yes, we do. And the flu network in general is very popular because thanks to Hogwarts Legacy.
Yes.
And before they updated it to where they lowered the voice activation of the freaking flu powder network, we were constantly hearing about flu powder.
Yes. So
now since they updated the game, it doesn't happen every time you go to a flu powder and fast travel, thankfully.
Thankfully. Yes. But no, I think we should definitely talk about it.
Oh, definitely. So we do have some known rooms. So a private parlor was located behind the bar at the ground floor. It had a desk, a window, and a little table and two somewhat uncomfortable chairs. In 1993, Minister of Magic Cornelius Fudge borrowed a room so he could talk to Harry Potter about his safety and that he didn't have to worry about Sirius Black, who he thought was a mass murderer. He also told Harry that two men from the Accidental Magic Reserve Reversal Squad were sent out to puncture Amerigori Dursley and modify her memory after Harry lost control in Vernon Dursley's home and that running away was irresponsible. And I mean, I'm going to be honest here. I mean, I would run away, period, because the Dursleys are a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to stay there either.
But because of them, Harry was safe up until he was 18.
Yes, there was a protection spell in the house.
And his aunt actually knew more than she was letting on.
Yeah, she liked to keep her secrets about it.
She knew so much about the wizard world that Vernon did not know, like, Petunia actually knew well more than she let on.
Yep, it was definitely, I think she probably saw it as her family's dirty little secret.
Right.
She didn't want
to. Well, it's also like she tried to get into Hogwarts. She sent a letter to Dumbledore to get into Hogwarts, and Dumbledore wrote her personally saying no.
Right. She didn't have
because you don't have magical abilities.
Yeah. Maybe she was just super salty about it.
She was. Oh, absolutely she was. So we have room 10, which was a room at the first floor. In 1993, the day maid was about to clean the room when its owner roared at her and closed the door. Which we see this in the film of Prince of Azkaban, which is like really is like, okay, now I really want to know what's behind that door. I want to know what's there.
I can't even say it would be like a troll or something. I feel like it'd be too small.
Right. So room 11 was a room at the first floor, which had a bed in the middle, a fireplace, a talking mirror, and a window. In 1993, Harry Potter and his owl Hedwig stayed in the room after Harry ran away from Privet Drive and was picked up by the night bus.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting drive.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And then now we move on to the menu.
Ooh.
So we have all these dishes. So we have the house soup, or the house soup, which is 5 sickles. We have the house leaky soup, which is 4 sickles. And we have house soup leaky, which is 3 sickles, as well as the leaky house soup. The names they came up with this menu. And then we have the leaky soup for 5 sickles. The leaky soup house for 4 sickles. The soup house leaky for 3 sickles. And the soup leaky house for 4 sickles. And then we actually have a soup leaky, which is an unknown price. Which is all part of the luncheon menu. And also, well, we also do have soup, which is 5 sickles. Just the names of these things.
So, all right, real quick little thing. So my husband works with he's a machinist and he can make a whole bunch of stuff, and he likes to tell me terminologies of things, and it's a very simplified things. Like there's something called a come along, which is basically something you clamp to something and pull it along with you. It's called a come along. C clamps, like they're very basic. So, and I mean this not in an offensive way, but you can tell that they were just named by some white man because they're just very basic names. Every single one of these soups or meals was named by the owner or the creator at the time.
The creator.
He was just
a
like,
woman.
I don't know. We're just gonna call it the Leaky Soup House and soup.
Do
I'm
you,
running out
you
of ideas.
Do you know that wasn't the owner and original owner a woman?
Yes, but I'm assuming a lot of these came over time.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, I
yeah,
was
whoever made
owner,
the menu
absolutely.
Had no, literally had zero creativity whatsoever.
Zero creativity. Like the next items, I could absolutely see starting it out like when she first opened up this tavern. These were the things she served, but as time moved on,
the amount of different soups they have for one. The amount of different, I'm just like, what's the difference of all these soups? They all sound the same.
I don't know if I'd ever want something called the leaky soup, though.
Or soup. Like, what's soup? Like, what? Here, I have to look this up. Yeah, these are all literally listed, by the way. These are all listed on a billboard in the Leaky Cauldron. As we find this, the first mentioned in the price list from Chamber of Secrets in the film.
Maybe they took inspiration from the patrons who just
it's from the
drank
DVD
way too much butterbeer. It's from way too much fire, Wixie.
Oh yeah, it's from the DVD Ultimate Edition, by the way. So this is like the interactable DVD they did.
Oh,
that's what this is from.
Nice.
So yeah, it's someone from the film set like. How can we make what can we put on a menu? And they literally just named off random stuff just to be funny. They did this as
a
comedy thing.
Absolutely.
So then we have pea soup, which we don't have a known price. It has been known to eat people, according to Drew Head.
Oh.
Great. We have pickled eel, which is 1 gallon. A jar of pickled eels hit the Leaky Cauldron bartender in the face when the mountain troll rampaged through the pub.
No.
And we also have a roast hog for 1 gallon and a steak and kidney pie for 1 gallon, which are house specialties.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a game pie, which is 2 gallons, and a raw liver, which we don't have a price, but is ordered by a likely hag.
No, I bet your pea soup doesn't have a price because they would just get eaten by it and no one would get an actual money out of them.
Yeah.
Do whatever change they'd have in their pockets.
That's true. That's probably very, very true. And now we move on to my favorite portion, the beverages.
Hmm.
So, obviously, we have butterbeer because you can't have a tavern without butterbeer in the Wizarding World.
True.
We have exploding lemonade.
Well, when life gives you lemons, you got to make them blow up.
Right, exactly. We have tea, brandy, beer, sherry, which sherry is like a type of wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have Gomp's old Gagarius, which is disgusting. Berry oaky rot, which, what? Like, I don't even want to know if I want to look this up. It's a fruit wine containing 17% alcohol.
Okay. Oh my God.
That's pretty good for
it's going to rot your gut.
That's the whole point. The best beverage sold at Hogshead Pub and Hogsmeade, as well as Leaky Cauldron, Horse Slughorn, and Rubus Hagger got drunk on the bottle of after Aragog's funeral.
Wow.
So that's what they're drinking when they were all drunk in Hagrid's hut. We have Gilly Water, Pure Malt Whiskey.
Oof, that sounds good.
Tongue-Tying Lemon Squash.
Hmm.
Fishy Green Ale.
No.
Dragon Scale, Beetleberry Whiskey.
Okay, if you keep the beetle out of it, it doesn't sound bad. Like if it was the whiskey, brand, but
Beetleberry. Beetle is probably whiskey? The brand. Let me see here.
But like that does sound pretty good.
Yeah, it's a brand of whiskey.
Okay. All right, good deal.
It's a brand.
But yeah, that does sound pretty
we're
good.
We're good there. Now, I actually want to look what the heck this Dragon Scale is. It's a brand of ale that starts as ale, wins it with as a lager. Interesting.
Similar to fire whiskey. In...
Yeah, okay. This is one of the drinks that you can actually order at the Leaky Cauldron and the Wizard World of Harry Potter.
Well, you know what you're going to be getting.
I'm going to keep drinking all the different types of drinks.
Yes.
We have Wizard's Brew. Blissen's Fire Cinnamon Flavored Whiskey. I'm sorry, I don't do anything fire cinnamon flavored anything anymore because Fireball has ruined me. I will never drink Fireball ever again.
Me neither.
I had a bad experience with it. Anyway, we have Swalt Malt Whiskey.
Ooh.
Mead. Mm-hmm. And Mold Mead.
Which I do want to try that. Just Mold Mead or Mead?
Mold Mead. Mead is great. I have mead in my house right now. So mead is wonderful. And Mold Mead.
It is something I would like to try.
Mold Mead is served warm. So this instead of nice. Regular mead, which is normally served cold, mold weed is just warm. It's room temperature.
Mm. Okay.
Or almost like somewhat hot. To where like when I go, I have where I go to Ren Faire, we have mead, which is cold. And then at Yuletide, we have mold mead, which is served warmer because it's cold out.
Okay. That makes sense.
Just to, truthfully. You know.
Yeah. But no, it is definitely something I need to get behind trying.
Now, I actually do want to know, do they sell the Gomp's Old Gregorius at the Wizarding World? They don't, thank God. Okay, good. We're good. We are good. I was about to say, I was like, do I have to try this at all? Ooh, the Fishy Green Ale is one that is at the Wizarding World.
I wonder if it's a green apple.
It is a beverage which included ingredients include fish eggs. A known brand of fishy ale. Okay. That's just like lore.
Right.
I don't know what it actually is. Fishy grain is part of the first and most green. Interesting there. In fact, a sugary cinnamon mint concoction with a boba tea, blueberry flavored, quote unquote, fish eggs that release a sweet tart explosion.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad. The mint, though, maybe not. I'm not a huge
I know. I don't know. Like, it's a tea, so.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just say it's a tea when it's called an ale?
Well, the bobas are what I think would be considered it. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. Mint concoction with boba tea, blueberry flesh. Huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So it probably just adds texture and visual to it with bobas.
And the tongue-tying lemon squash is also one at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
It's like a lemon drop, because that sounds kind
of Let's see here. Tongue-tying lemon squash was part of the new Forces of the Diagon Isle expansion. It has been described as a lemonade-style drink, not too tart.
Aww.
The name of the beverage is most likely inspired by that of the tongue-tying curse.
Hmm.
Okay, is exploding lemonade a legitimate drink? Darn it, it's not. It's only on the freaking menu of the Ultimate Edition of the first two films. Darn. All right. Well, I know Gillywater is at the park.
Yeah.
And Barry Oakewatt's not. Okay, interesting. Hmm. Wizard's Brew. Oh, that is one at the Wizarding World. It is derived from the Witch's Brew, a term of concoction of strange ingredients. Yeah, they don't tell what it's like made of.
Hmm.
Huh.
I wonder if it's just a basic kind of beer.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but last but not least, we do have some behind the scenes. So we have Charing Cross Road, where the Leaky Cauldron is located, is actually several centuries younger than the Leaky Cauldron itself. Charing Cross Road was created in mid-18th century by rebuilding and merging two elder streets. This also means that the Leaky Cauldron cannot be located in the middle part of the road between the intersections with Cambor Street and Shaftesbury Avenue. Because of this is the part of the most transformed and reshaped by the creation of the Charing Cross Road, the Leaky Cauldron can be located in the southern third, formerly known as Castle Street, or in the northern third, formerly known as Crown Street or Hog Lane. The exact location is unknown. There is only a brief mention in the first book that is located between a bookshop and record store that were in Charing Cross Road in the early 1990s.
To keep the mystery alive.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, as Hagrid and Harry approach the front door, the sign of the Leaky Cauldron clears to be blank. Blank cut out to stylized design with a cauldron in the background. In the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, a different doorway with a different sign is shown. It is never shown whether this is supposed to be an alternate doorway or a quote-unquote new main entrance. Also, Tom, the landlord, was recast in the third film. In the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the Leaky Cauldron is shown as a located between 48 Charing Cross Road and 12 Great Newport Street, London. In real life, there is no building in between 48 Charing Cross Road and 12 Great Newport Street, which can be seen in the following image, but possibly because the real world is concealed, it is possible that they were all three different doorways. The Leaky Cauldron had a doorway for every part of London.
Oh, I mean, that would make sense.
Right.
Maybe they have a nicer sign for the nicer area that it's pointed at, too.
And then in Chapter 4 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban is titled The Leaky Cauldron. Because, you know, Harry's in Leaky Cauldron.
Right.
And then in Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4, the Leaky Cauldron has a basement, notice board, and cinema room, and a back door. And then in Harry Potter, Hogwarts Mystery, and Lego Harry Potter, years 1 through 4, Lego Harry Potter, years 5 through 7, the Leaky Cauldron is a shop in Diagon Alley and not the entrance.
Interesting. Well, it's a Lego game.
I mean, it's Lego and it's a mobile game. I mean, it's game-wise, yeah. It's whatever. It's just what they had to do to fix it, put it in the world of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. I'm not going to fault them for that at all.
Right. So, that is all we have on the Leaky Cauldron this week. So, before we head on out, we have the Quizzing World quiz.
Yes, we do.
And what was our question last week, Nina?
It was a magi zoology question. A unicorn is, of course, a white horse with a single horn on the middle of its head. But what color is unicorn fowl, which is younger one? The foal, not fowl. Foal, my foal. Bad.
Which yes. is the baby unicorn.
The baby unicorn. So I did get two people who tried answering. It was the Devil and Boom on Discord, and they both guessed it was gray. But
which you would gray, think you, was you would going think into so. Like a silver white, but mm-hmm. it's actually the opposite of silver, which is
gold. But it does have silver hooves.
Yes, so that is true.
It
is
quite quite the combination on and it. But they are super adorable.
If you play Hogwarts Legacy and you breed unicorns, and you will get a golden fowl.
Mm-hmm.
Or a foal. Golden foal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They're super cute. But so that was last week. This week, we have a fun one about the differences between the movie and the books.
Ooh.
So in the movie Order of the Phoenix, it is Neville Longbottom who finds the Room of Requirement, also known as the Come and Go Room. But who shows Harry the room in the books? So Neville Longbottom finds the Room of Requirements in the movie, in the Order of the Phoenix. But who actually shows Harry the room in the books?
I know the answer. I'm pretty sure I know the answer. But
yeah, so that's the question. So answer it. On Discord when I posted in there. I think I was a little late this week, but I was busy. But yeah, let me know what you think, and we'll get the answer next week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So thank you, everybody, listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard. Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at WWLorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.